And we're still dealing with the book of Ephesians chapter 4, where we've been discussing the unity of our walk in unity, verses 1 to 16, and how we are to walk in the unity of the Spirit. And the basis for such a walk is our unity in position before God. And then the result of such a walk is our unity in service. And in dealing with this unity in service, we see in verse 7 that every believer is gifted by God to do a work of edification, to build up the body of Christ. Everyone has a place to function and where God has put us. And then we found in verses 8 to 11 that the source of the gifts was from a risen Christ, and that gifted men were chosen by God to do a specific work in the body of Christ, in the church. And the purpose of the gifts, 12 to 16, which we were dealing with in our last lesson, was to perfect the saints for the work of ministering. And again, I would like to suggest to you, though I'm sure there are those who disagree with me, but the book says here that these gifted men are given to the church for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. And what is the work of the ministry? It goes on to speak of the edifying, the building up, the encouragement of the body of Christ for every Christian, till we all come to the unity of the faith. You know, sometimes people say, well, what can a fellow believe? I go to one church and they teach one thing, and I go to another church and they teach something else. Well, that may be true. But I think you find in evangelical circles that we all stand together on some basic things. We believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in his virgin birth. We believe in his sinless life. We believe that his work on the cross fully satisfied God for lost men and women, that he put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself, that he, the just, died for the unjust to bring us to God, and that in resurrection he guaranteed the work which he had accomplished, that the resurrection of Christ is the guarantee not only of his work, but that he indeed, this Jesus, is none other than the Son of God, and that he went back to heaven to be exalted, to be a prince and a savior, having all authority. I think these basic things are believed by all of us who love the Savior and who love his word. In fact, we believe too that he's going to come back in power and great glory, that this one whom heaven has taken in is going to return, not to put away sin again. He's going to return to rule as Lord of lords and King of kings. And when he comes the next time, every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him, and all nations shall mourn because of him. These are basic things which we believe. But there are some things which we may not agree on. So we are to get along together to walk in the unity of the Spirit, enjoy men in Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. I have a lot of friends, for example. Doctrinally, we don't agree on some things, but we have good, wonderful fellowship because we love the same Savior, and we are joined together, and thank God one of these days they're going to agree with me, and I'm going to agree with them, because now we see through a glass darkly. But when we get into his presence, we'll know the facts, we'll know the whole truth. It'll be a wonderful thing, and then we'll be amazed how close we were together. Do you know that? We're not very far apart on some things. Sometimes just a question of terminology. Right down in our hearts, we believe the same thing. And God's great desire is that his people should be established in the faith and built up and edified. And that's why we come down to verse 14 and 15. Here we are. He guards us against false teachers. He guards us against being tossed about in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, babies, tossed about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And may I warn you, my friend, there are a great many people today, a lot of men, preachers, who will deceive you as with respect to the truth. You mean to tell me, sir, that there are men in pulpits calling themselves Christians who do not preach the truth? Yes, I'm sorry to say that's true. Do you remember in the book of Matthew chapter 7, Jesus spoke of them when he said, "Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? We've cast out demons in your name. We have done many wonderful works in your name." And Jesus will say unto them, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Or in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where we read that Satan is going to transform himself into an angel of light to deceive, if possible, the very elect of God. So he says, don't be surprised if Satan's angels will come as angels, as ministers of righteousness, for the purpose of deceiving God's people. I would like to warn you Christians about this. Many of you possibly are sitting under the ministry of men, of whom these verses which I have just quoted are apropos. They make a claim to be Christian, but they don't believe in the deity of our Savior. They claim that Jesus Christ was just a man. And when you listen to them with their smooth words, you're taken in. You can't find a thing wrong with it. Oftentimes not so much by what they say, but by what they leave out, where they do not stand out and declare what they believe with respect to the person of Christ and the Word of God. Like, for example, there's a man here in Portland who says that the miracles and parables of Jesus were just folklore. They weren't true, just folklore. And yet many people look upon him as a real Christian minister. And Paul says that we Christians are to edify each other till we come to the unity of the Spirit, to the unity of the faith, pardon me, so that we are no longer tossed about by every wind of doctrine. There are some people who today they believe something and 6 months from now they're on another tangent. They're not solid. They move around. No stability. They haven't been established in the truth of God. Oh, that we might be balanced on this. And God has given to the church teachers and pastors and evangelists to perfect God's people, to do the work of ministering for the edifying of the body of Christ, so that we're no longer going to be youngsters, children, tossed about by every teaching that comes along. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. So instead of being tossed about by the cunning craftiness of men who lie in wait to deceive, they just take great delight in destroying the faith of God's people. Hence we must be established. You parents ought to pray for your young people. They go off to schools. They go off to colleges and universities. And in our colleges and universities there are those who take great delight in ruining the faith of those who trust the Savior. I know whereof I speak in this. There are schools in the state of Oregon and in the Pacific Northwest and throughout our whole land where some of these professors who fight against the Word of God being read in our schools, and yet they will promulgate their atheism and their agnosticism and their hatred for the Son of God. And they come with smooth words and smooth speeches, and they even lie about things that have been proven to be false. They go on teaching it as being true, and they deceive. I remember one professor who said he took great delight in destroying the faith of these who call themselves fundamentalists. He got a great bang out of him. Bang out of it when some of these students left and graduated from school having no more faith in the Savior. You pray for our young people. May they be established in the Word of God so that they will not be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. This is what we are endeavoring to do at the Multnomah School of the Bible here in Portland. Take these precious young lives and establish them in the Word of God so that when they go out into the world, whether to university or seminary, wherever they go, they'll be established and be able to give a reason for the hope where they will not be tossed about by every wind of doctrine, but be solid for Christ in a day that is desperate, a day that's full of sin. I say this kindly. I say it because it's on my heart. I pray, and I trust you parents will pray, that our young people will so be established in the Word of God, in the things of Christ, that when they go out into the world or to go to further schooling, they'll not be switched away from the Son of God because of these men who come with smooth words, seeking cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. God grant that today you and I will lift up our hearts in prayer, intercession for our young people. As they go to school this fall, they may go with their hearts guarded against the false isms and philosophies of men. We're living in evil days, and how we need to be established in the truth of God. I plead with you, Christians, you who claim to be spiritual, spend some time before God and plead with God for our young men, and pray that God will raise up young men in these days who shall be abandoned to the will of God, a life committed to Him, gifted to carry forth the Word of God to the farthest ends of the earth. Pray for us as we seek to train young lives for Himself, and the Lord bless you today for His name's sake.